Dr. Vincent Olsen-Reeder is joining us from Potukia Tamapahore and also from Reo Pol, and is raising concerns about whether recent government moves to reduce the visibility of Te Reo Māori in the public sector branding may actually be breaching existing law and policy. Vincent, tēnā koe, ko Dale, tēnā. Thanks for joining us for a kōrero on Wātem. Mauri ora.
Morena, Dale, tēnā koe, wai mai nei o tira, tēnā koe, tue whakurunga mai nei. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for the work you've been doing in this space, Vincent. Must be frustrating for a guy like you who's a strong advocate for our reo, only to see aspects of it demeaned consistently by a government who prefers to maintain a Eurocentric model. Do you believe the government's proposed changes to branding guidelines directly conflict with the Te Reo Māori of 2016?
Yes, that's correct, and I'd say it's been a just on your point, it's been a rough few years for the life and the industry of Te Reo Māori. But yes, on this particular aspect, I am concerned that there's a few parts of the Act that this kind of policy might breach. I'm not a lawyer, but that's my concern as I go and look at the Act, but also look at what this branding policy is and where it's come from and what it signals. Obviously, government as a top-down institution, the way that it organises itself with regard to our two official languages, Te Reo Māori and NZSL, matters greatly, and the picture that it paints to its citizens matters too. And if it's signalling any kind of prohibition or lessened permission, which is definitely what we've seen in the last few years, then I think that might come into conflict with the law here.
Yeah, tēnā koe. Just before we talk about that, might you tell us about Reo Pol? It's an organisation I'm unfamiliar with, but you're not. What's it do, and what are the goals of that kaupapa, Vincent?
Oh, yeah, kia ora, Dale. So Reo Pol was established in late last year, in about November. It is a pakihi that principally tries to bring politically neutral policy for language to the public sector, but it also offers those same kinds of services to the private sector. So we're talking written policy, Māori language solutions like co-pilot tools to allow staff members of an agency to use more Te Reo Māori and ask questions, well-meaning questions about the use of Te Reo Māori, and get really good politically neutral policy advice, and a number of other things like facilitation. But at the moment, most of its work, because of the climate we're in, has been in advocacy. So trying to make sure that the decisions being made for our reo are being made in a logical and considered and pragmatic way that actually speak to our goals as a nation, which is, of course, to be more and more bilingual every day. So that's what Reo Pol is. It stands for Reo Policy. Some people think it stands for Reo Police, and I'm okay with that.
Tēnā koe. Thank you. I talk with a lot of politicians, and guys like Winston think, we need to have New Zealand Health, not Te Whatu Ora, and the list goes on. Every government department for a time would also have a complementary Ingoa Māori. He says that English has to be the one in the bold letters with a tag on Māori, and not the other way around, because people don't understand what they are getting. Well, that's the line that he tags, and not just him as well, because he's had parliamentary support for that sort of thinking. That's the kōrero about demeaning the language. From your understanding, how is this going to play out if the current coalition get what they want?
Yeah, nice. Thanks, Dale. That's a good question. So the idea of having one language more prominent than another is something that academic research has talked about for a long time when it comes to reviving and maintaining languages. And so having a particular language bigger and bolder, it's not necessarily something that that everybody who does this kind of mahi supports. There's every chance that you could have Te Reo Māori and English the same font, the same size, and all that kind of thing. But there is an argument for having one bigger and bolder. And the reason you would do that is to to point out to the community that this is a valuable language, this is an important language, and therefore we are going to give it a little bit of prestige and we're going to ask you as citizens to see it first. And so that's why in 2021 the branding policy was changed by the government to have Te Reo Māori first or on the left, depending on which order you were going to read things in, to point out to citizens that this was a language of prestige under Te Ture Mo Te Reo Māori, and we are committed to ensuring its continued revival. And so that was the thinking back in 2021. Now, of course, that's changed, and the branding policy is signalling the opposite. This isn't a language of prestige. This isn't a language we want to uphold the mana of. We're just doing this out of a nod to Te Ture Mo Te Reo Māori and maybe escape getting into trouble with the law, but all signs point to inferiorising Te Reo Māori, which Te Ture Mo Te Reo Māori does not allow as an act that principally controls government. That's what that act's job.
So I don't know what happened then, Vincent, but we just dropped out unexpectedly. I was going to touch on, you know, while there might be some gripes from politicians, many of them dinosaurs in their attitudes, I'd suggest, most citizens are pretty unfazed by the bilingual usage of signage and the like. In fact, it's creating an interesting community and country, surely, as many people, just in their everyday lingo, adopt Māori phrases seamlessly, comfortably. So it's sort of pushing or going against the grain somewhat of public sentiment, don't you think?
Yeah. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened there, but I'm back now. No, yes, you're 100% correct. So we know from all of our latest language data that comes from government departments, by the way, points to New Zealanders wanting more public signage in Te Reo Māori because it helps them learn and it makes them feel like government is responding to the kind of citizen that they are. They want to be bilingual. They want to have Te Reo Māori in their life. And NZSL too, I might say, they want to increase their opportunities to learn. We've got more Reo Māori learners than we've ever had in history, and so you know there are people, the everyday citizen who doesn't have time to wade into this kind of silliness. You know, they're going about their day, but they're going about their day wanting to increase their use of Te Reo Māori, and they want to see government come and be part of that, not progressively try to remove from them what it means to them to be living in this country. So, yeah, all in all, it's a very weird kind of, I suppose, dystopia in a way, where you've got permission to use the language sort of being removed left, right and centre, but also in a way that like citizens don't want this and they don't want money being spent on this kind of stuff. They want to go about and live their lives and have a harmonious, lovely country that that really celebrates its official languages.
Tēnā koe. Dr. Vincent Olsen-Reader is our guest. You've raised concerns about a lack of consultation as well, Vincent. How significant is that when we look at the Māori Language Act, and what should proper consultation look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I understand from my Official Information Act requests, if they're complete, you know, that consultation hasn't happened. So there's no documentation or anything like that that's come my way that's talked about the consultation that had happened. One other media outlet did probe that with the minister yesterday, and unfortunately he didn't answer the question. So not really sure if it's happened, but consultation with iwi and Māori is actually in the Act itself. So if it hasn't happened, then it does raise questions about whether this kind of policy is unlawful or not. I'm not sure. But it does raise the question. And I should say too that I think something that numerous different government agencies have done recently is they've asked themselves. So they've found iwi and Māori who are, you know, internal public servants and, you know, talked to them about this kind of stuff. But ultimately, that's not consultation with iwi and Māori. That's just the Crown, consulting with the Crown. So all of those things make this nuance really strange. But of course, that strangeness could be solved by just not doing it, but just doing a pragmatic, logical, let's just not do this because it's silly. And then we don't have to wade into these really odd situations. As far as I know, no consultation.
Thank you,
What should
Vincent.
it look like? People like us, academics, scholars, communities, speakers, that's what consultation looks like to me.
Well, I know there are some legal implications. You'll have to get your law friends to take a squeeze out. They might have to do the job for nothing, but never mind. Just to cast their eye across the legislation and see if they're ticker or not, or maybe they're already acting outside current policy or law. Hey, good talking with you, Vincent. I'd like to have another kōrero with you longer and more in depth about some of the work you've been doing, but we'll save that for another time. Thank you for sharing some
Kia
time with
ora,
us this Friday morning, Chief. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora, Dale. Thank you.
Kia ora.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you. What a neat guy, Vincent. Great advocate. And Reo Pol, short for Reo Policy. Very important as well.